Finally, apart from all of this, there are two other topics you've got to deal with to make sure negotiations go smooth and you get the most for your client. And the first is going to concern subrogation. If you don't know what that is, subrogation is how insurance companies recover monies that they've expended on behalf of their policyholders or their beneficiaries. The companies hired to handle subrogation will send you an itemized ledger with all the claims that they've paid to date and their demand for compensation from the settlement. The primary forms in PI cases are going to be health insurance, workers' compensation, and auto insurance, like MedPay. And there are numerous state and federal laws that govern subrogation rights, and you should strongly familiarize yourself to the extent of the subrogating party's entitlement to a portion of your client's settlement proceeds. You've got to sit down and learn the law, and there are plenty of great resources out there to look through. It can really make all the difference in how quickly you can easily settle a case based on how low you can get these interests down, and that'll get your client more money. And you should be proactive in handling subrogation. Find out which policies the client has that might apply and set up the claim as early as you possibly can. It's a smart move because one, subrogation claims take a while. Liens take time to be compiled. Two, you can actually review the itemized ledger early on to make sure you're not missing any medical providers that the client didn't tell you about and get those records ordered. Three, you can identify unrelated charges and start the process of getting those removed. You don't want to wait till the end to do this because that could really delay the case. And then finally, you can take time ahead of settlement negotiations to identify, you know, which person do I need to negotiate the interest down with? Like, who's going to be my point of contact down the road? Because that's going to lead to much faster turnaround once you have the offer and you want to settle the case. And related to that is identifying all of the liens. This could include all valid liens filed by parties with an interest in the case, you know. And as a subrogation, you've just got to understand what laws govern attachments to liens in PI cases and what's the extent of the lien holder's entitlement to your client's settlement, if any. The most common are obviously hospitals for emergency services. And take the same approach as you would with subrogation. Identify who do I need to negotiate with down the road once I've got a settlement. Other liens like back child support and back taxes, those are really challenging to negotiate down. The government obviously has a lot of leverage over those. You know, but even so, you should still find out who do I need to negotiate with and how can I get a fast turnaround and get any lien settled down the road. All right, you'll eventually reach a point where you're ready to actually send your demand package. It's going to be led off with a demand letter written by the attorney. And it'll contain an overview of the client's claims, reference evidence that best supports it, and argue for compensation. And it can almost be viewed as a blueprint for an opening statement at trial, right? So it should really present the case in such an effective and persuasive manner as to motivate the insurance company to, you know, come to the table and try to give you money to settle the claim. A typical demand letter is going to be organized by starting with the facts of loss, going into past medical treatment, moving on to future medical treatment and care with disfigurement, if there is any, past and future lost earnings, and then conclude with the demand amount. The documents placed behind the letter should obviously track the sequence. And there's a couple points you should know as you're presenting the facts and arguing in favor of the client. You know, first, you don't want to regurgitate every single fact about the case in the letter. You should really focus on highlighting more salient facts that give the case value and actually help you clarify issues. And then second, the demand letter should personalize the client's experience and not make him or her seem like another number. You want to make this a really interesting and compelling read that sells the main points of the case and makes the adjuster want to pay the claim. Okay. So you'll open, obviously, with how the wreck happened. And the main points to emphasize in writing this section include that the client obviously didn't cause the wreck, and you want to play up the severity of it. So you do that by providing a comprehensive narrative that takes the adjuster through the wreck from the client's perspective. Before diving into the car accident, I like to talk about what the client might have been doing leading up to it. You know, maybe they were dropping their kids off at school, headed to work, you know, whatever it is. You just want to highlight that their day was just going in such an unremarkable way prior to being hit. And then after you do that, you should start writing about the impact itself. And when you're writing this, you should try using more vivid descriptions about it. You know, as a really simple example, I'll sometimes see people put like behind, but you know, it's not very like colorful. You might want to say, suddenly slammed into my client at Fidente speed, which destroyed the rear of your vehicle. It's more dramatic and, you know, gives a better description of what happened. And you should also write about things that play up the severity, like shattered glass, airbag deployment, if they hit another vehicle. You know, if their body struck something in the vehicle, like the dashboard or the console, you should definitely add that in because that'll help it link to the impact. You know, especially common for like shoulder injuries, knees, like a knee tear, things like that. And also make sure you reference other sources that back up your client's claim, like the police report or the statement. Because doing this in almost a play-by-play manner is going to reinforce the notion that the impact was injury causing and that the defendant is responsible for it. And just keep in mind that there will be times where the adjuster has indicated, and you might suspect, that your client has some responsibility for causing the collision. But you should really steer clear in your demand letter of mentioning anything about comparative negligence, even when it's plainly obvious. You know, you don't have to do the other side's job for them. You're not obligated to. You only want to write facts about the case that favor your client. You know, if anything, I would just have talking points ready to the side to address that. Next, you're going to want to move on to highlighting aggravating factors by turning to the defendant's conduct after the wreck. You know, if it's a drunk driving case, review the evidence you compiled and pull negative facts that prove that they couldn't operate the car. You know, slurred speech, wobbling, bloodshot eyes, you know, their blood alcohol content. Was it 2 times, 3 times the legal limit? Also write about any incriminating statements or belligerent behavior by them. You know, basically things that take their misconduct and make it that much more outrageous and offensive, even if it's not a drunk driving case. And I always like to end a section with drunk driving or, you know, any kind of gross negligence, you know, with a theme of recklessness and indifference to the welfare of innocent drivers, you know, something like that. You could use a trial down the road as a theme.